related. Some of the questions are Yom Tov related. A little bit of both, a little bit of everything. So let's see what we can cover. Okay. Bez Hashem, eventually the shir will be posted. So the video, the audio of the shir will be posted. There's supposed to be an option of recording this on the video, but again, I don't know why the account that I have over here doesn't give me all these options. Okay. First question, again, there's no specific order, just I took somebody's question and I wrote them down. Making a cholent on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So this year there's going to be, it's Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, so you're going to need to make an Erev Tavshilin. And that was one of the questions, is how do you make an Erev Tavshilin? So let's start with that. So Erev Tavshilin has to be made before Yom Tov. It requires two items. It requires something which is baked and something which is cooked. The baked item, you're going to use a matzah for that. The cooked item, it could be anything which is cooked, which will be used for the Shabbos meal. Mishabura actually prefers, historically they use an egg because that's something which would stay after it was cooked, it wouldn't rot, sit for two days without refrigeration. Nowadays we have refrigeration. Really, it's actually better to do something which would be used for the Shabbos meal. So a piece of chicken, a piece of meat would make more sense. A person will cook that on Erev Yom Tov or even prior to that, and will take the chicken and the matzah, and which have been cooked for or cooked with intent to use it for Shabbos. There's in the Siddur, it has the nusach that you say the bracha al mitzvos erev, and then it says there's a that it's, with this erev I'm going to be permitted to cook, and all the different things that it says over there from Yom Tov to Shabbos. You need to understand what you're saying. So if you understand it better in the English version, you should say it in the English version. So the Arts Kosher has a translation. You can use that. That allows you to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. However, Mishabura points out that doesn't allow you to cook late. Preferably, does not mean that you're going to cook late in the day, Friday afternoon. Really, it should be edible and usable already on Yom Tov for Yom Tov itself. Then you leave it for Shabbos, that's fine. So if a person, if let's say for argument's sake, Shkia is around that point, next week is in Silver Spring, is about 7:45, something like that. You put up a cholent at 6 o'clock, it's not really going to be edible, from raw with raw meat, it's not going to be edible by the time Yom Tov finishes and Shabbos starts. So that would not be preferred. A person should put it up earlier in the day, and this way, put up a cholent, even though cholent tastes better by sitting overnight, but cholent is cooked 3-4 hours, is quite edible. A person could eat some of it if they wanted to. So a person should put up the cholent earlier in the day, and this way, theoretically, you're cooking actually for Yom Tov, and then you're then going to say, I'm leaving it over from Yom Tov for Shabbos. So that's the logic behind the heter. So the Erev only allows you to do that in conjunction with the fact, if you haven't muted, please mute. And we have a question, you'll unmute, but preferably leave questions. If you can jot down questions or leave them to the end, that'd be the best. Otherwise, we'll lose the flow. So we're talking about making cholent on Yom Tov. So preferably should done earlier in the day. You can start from scratch. Raw meat, everything like that, etc. Going in from Yom Tov into Shabbos, so then you have the general rules of in a case where the second day Yom Tov is Drabbanon, the Mishabura says, in the case you didn't do it earlier, you're allowed to do it later in the day, even though it will not be edible for Yom Tov. In the case where Shavuos this year is going to come out Friday Shabbos, so the first day Yom Tov is the Yom Tov of Friday is the Raisa, there Mishabura gets very nervous about this idea of cooking late in the day. The person should make sure to cook earlier in the day. Start the food going. Something which has already been cooked, there's a question of warming, that's not an issue. We're talking about making something from scratch. So most foods that people are using for Shabbos, you're not making them on Yom Tov, you're just maybe warming them up on Yom Tov. So now the rules of going from Yom Tov into Shabbos are like any Friday going into Shabbos. The preferably the food, the fire that you're leaving it on should be Gor Fakotum. Now, how are you going to have Gor Fakotum on going into, so leaving it in the oven, you're going in the oven, so you don't have Gor Fakotum. If you cover the the panel where you can raise and lower the temperature, that's equivalent to the halacha of being gar for katzu. That would not allow you to do chazara, that allows you to do shihiyah. There's two different halachas in Shabbos, going into Shabbos. One is shihiyah, which is the idea of leaving food going from Friday into Shabbos. Then there's a second question, which is taking food off of the fire on Shabbos and returning it back onto the fire. You cannot do that inside an oven. That's only mutter on top, on the stovetop. So if a person has something inside of the oven, they take it out, they can't put it back. They can take it out of the oven, serve it, and put it back onto the stovetop. So if you have a burner going on the stovetop, you can do chazara to the stovetop. You cannot do chazara into teich of an oven. Okay, So we covered the question of Eruv Tavshilin, how to make an Eruv Tavshilin. We pointed out that a person should even with an Eruv Tavshilin, a person should start cooking early in the day, and that the food should be theoretically usable for Yom Tov itself. And we discussed the idea of making Cholent on Yom Tov going into Shabbos, and the lochas of Shehiyah, of leaving something going from Yom Tov into Shabbos. So if anyone has any questions on that, you know, please write it down, jot it down, and we'll pick that up at the end, okay? So that's a Yom Tov Shabbos issue, not specific to Pesach. A few more points about the Erev Tavshilin. The Erev Tavshilin can be made by the husband or the wife. It doesn't make a difference whoever does it. And many families, the husband does it. In my family, the wife always does it because she's in the kitchen. So some families, the rule is whoever remembers does it. If a person forgot to do Erev Tavshilin, there are some solutions about how to do Erev Tavshilin. In this case, we're Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. So if somebody has the Shal Lamaisa that evening, they can, I guess, come running over to me and we'll discuss the issue. Okay. Does a person have to check behind the fridge? So in the B'dikas Chametz only applies to areas where potentially you will become visible or accessible over Yom Tov. If you never move your fridge, then you do not need to check behind your fridge. If you're one of these people who decides to move the fridge every Erev Shabbos to clean behind there, then you don't have to check behind your fridge. If that's your situation, I don't advise that you should be doing that. You should change that habit. But since most people do not move the fridge out on any form of a regular basis, very heavy bookcase, a fridge, those type of things, the oven, even if you have an oven which is not attached and can be moved, but if you never move your oven, so then you're not going to have to check behind the oven. Okay. People ask a question in regards to broom, dustpan, vacuum cleaner, etc. So I do recommend getting a new broom for Pesach, because even though Mikra Din is, you know, if there is any chomus which is embedded deep in the bristles, it's very hard to get it out. So the question comes about a vacuum cleaner. A vacuum cleaner, the bristles usually are not as extensive as that of a broom. And a person can just, you know, like brush it over with a, if you have a good wire brush or something like that, just brush it over one time. It'll shake out all of the chomets and you're fine. I do want to point out, a person has a vacuum cleaner, most of us do, you should make sure to remember to remove the bag, if you have a vacuum cleaner which uses a bag. You should remove the bag before this mana iser, because there might be chametz in there, and replace it with a new bag. You can probably put some type of a post-it note on your fridge to remind you. So vacuum cleaner, I don't think you have to worry about. You can use your vacuum cleaner on the Yom Tov Pesach, obviously Chol HaMoed, not on Yom Tov itself. A broom, I do recommend getting a new one. Dustpan, the same thing. Even though theoretically you could really wash the dustpan down, they're not that expensive. I would probably recommend trying to get another one if possible. Okay. In that context of a broom and a dustpan, what about a garbage can? Do you need a new garbage can? So, Mikra, you don't really need a new garbage can. I just think that the cleaning off a garbage can, which is going to be sitting in your kitchen, you're going to be touching it with your hands as you're moving things in and out, etc. You really want to be very confident that it's not something which has any chametz on it. So the Mikra, then a person, if they feel they can wash it down well, they do not need to get a new garbage can. That includes washing it inside. there's a din of that the shear of Yisra Bal Yerba Yimotze is a person has a Kzayis of Chometz. Now, Kzayis of Chometz is, even though we're Machmer, becomes a shiurim, a very large shear. Mikra din, it's arguably the Chaim Voloshin has said the size of a Kzayis is the size of a Kzayis, the size of an olive. Now, that's not very big. So, even if you have a few, you have some small crumbs inside there, the luck is that a Kli combines all of the pieces into one unit. So if you have multiple crumbs in there, which add up to the share of a kazayas, you would have a problem. So you'd have to wash out your garbage can very thoroughly if you want to hold on to your garbage can. Regards to a mop, I don't think you need to use a mop. You can just wring it. It's usually wrung out and washed out, and I don't think it's a problem. So those issues, I think, you know, where a person can stick to. In regards to using items from the whole year for Pesach, a few other things which that question applies to. I got the question in regards to towels, the tablecloths. Can you wash them and then use them for Pesach? So the answer is mikra din, yes, the person can do that. A person can wash the towels, can wash the tablecloths. That was clear in halacha that they used to do. They'd wash the tablecloths and then they would, you know, make sure that they clean them well. I would suggest, even if normally you wash on a cold cycle during the whole year, which usually is sufficient, for the purpose of this washing, I would suggest using a hot cycle so that you have the advantage of the hot water really cleaning everything out well together with the detergent. Nowadays, most detergents are strong enough that it's not really an issue, but I think just for the mile of Pesach, you should do that. So I think tablecloths are fine. Regards to a leichter and vases and those type of things. So usually no chametz is getting into the leichter, into the vase. So even though sometimes a person puts it on the table, you can just wash off the bottom of them and you can use them. You can use them for Pesach. We actually just, even when we do that, we put something down before we put it on the table. And this way we're not really dealing with, if there's any chashash, you know, it's not going to be directly on the table. But mikra din, that's not even necessary. Okay. Question came in: do you need to remove all of your magnets from your fridge? Do you clean off the fridge from all the magnets? Mikra din, no. As long as your magnets are staying in your fridge, you're not really touching them the whole time. If you tend to take off your magnets while you're making challah, and your hands are full of chametz, and read them, so then I would think, yes. I think most people don't do that. So if you want to get nervous about cleaning them, you can clean them. Cleaning them does not take away their magnetism, so you don't have to worry about that. Toys, using toys from the whole year for Pesach. How do you clean off toys, etc.? The Eitzah which my wife uses is she fills up the bathtub. She puts some dishwashing liquid into the water, and she rubs them down under the water in the bathtub or under the running water in the bathtub, and that will really get, you know, that really should cover the vast majority of them and make them nice and new and clean. If you have something which is really an intricate type of a toy, but there's a lot of little cracks and crevices, it's going to be hard to get the chametz out of it. I would advise not using it for Pesach, because you really can't be confident you're going to get all of the chametz out of it. And I'm assuming that your kids are normal and they decide to grind their crackers into every crack and crevice of the toy, which is possible. If you have that kid who doesn't do that, and not because he's very young still, I would like to meet the kid. He's going to be either a very, very not Lebedeke kid, or he's going to be a Tzadik Yisrael Olam. So anyway, okay. High chairs, mikra din, a high chair is really, there's no problem with a high chair, using it for the whole year and using it for Pesach. You just have to make sure that it's clean. A lot of the high chairs nowadays, Baruch Hashem, come with fairly easy surfaces to clean. A person would clean them well. You're not putting hot things, there's no bleigus involved on a high chair. There's no bleigus involved. It's just a question of, can you clean it well? If you can clean it well, mikra din, that's fine. Some of the older Pesach Svarim suggest the idea of covering it in some type of contact paper or something like that. So for even if you miss something over there in the chametz, you can be confident that it's not going to come out on Pesach. I don't think it's necessary, Again, if you think that your high chair is not going to clean well, so that would be the suggestion of you can cover it with that. I wouldn't recommend necessarily covering with foil. I think, you know, foil is going to tear and doesn't stay on as well as contact paper, which has that advantage that it sticks. Okay, moving on to the dining room table. So what do you need to do to cover the dining room table? So assuming that you don't have any cracks and crevices on the dining room table, you're not really using it most times directly on the table. You don't really need to do any cleaning on the table. If you tend to use your table directly, let's say in the kitchen or the dining room, and there is food caught in between the parts of the table, you should really pull the table apart and scrape that food out. That's not a problem of chametz. You might come to eat it in a Pesach, just cover it a few times. But again, there's a problem of if that chametz is still edible, if there's chametz that's still edible, the kli is mitzarefet to the share of a kazayas. But regards to the issue of if you don't have any of that, the question is just simply how do you use your table? Simplest solution is if you can put a base covering which is waterproof. So even if you would spill something hot, there's no connection between the food, the surface of what you're eating from, and the actual table. So you buy one of these the flannel lines that are, or even not flannel lines, it's a tablecloth. What's the word I'm looking for? It'll come to me. So talk about plastic tablecloth. You put it down underneath, and then you can put your regular tablecloth on top, and then deal with it as if it's a regular Shabbos or Yom Tov. So that is sufficient for that purpose. Okay, let's try and see if we can work with in this check and clean toys. You have to checking for Bedikas Chometz. While you're cleaning them, let's say the toys, the high chair, these type of things, you can check them in the good light to make sure that there's no chometz there. That is sufficient. You do not need to do another bedika of them on the night of the bedika. Question which comes in: should you only have to cover your table in plastic if it's hard to clean? You should do it anyway. You should cover the table with plastic in case there ever was some type of a spill which absorbed into the table. This way there's a barrier between that and the food which you have in Pesach. So that's why it's covered, you don't have to worry about that. Okay. Kashering. Let's touch on kashering a little bit. So the mikra, then you can kasher anything which is made out of metal, made out of wood. Those are kasherable. Something which is made out of plastic is not kasherable for Pesach. It is for the whole year, not for Pesach. Pesach we're machmer. But the Mishnah Berurah says that if you have an item which is made out of multiple pieces, which are then screwed together or pressed together, it's very possible chometz got into the cracks and crevices between those pieces, so you can't kasher it because you have to. The halacha is when you kasher with hagala, it has to be totally clean. And you have to remove all of that, all of the anything which is banned and any rust which might be there. So Mishabura advises against kashering those things. If you want to kasher stainless steel silverware, you could do so, but if it's made out of two pieces, even if both the pieces are metal, then you should not. If it's all one piece of metal, or it's all one piece of wood, so then you can make sure that you clean it well, and then you can kosher it. In the koshering process, our minhag is to kosher even things which might only one time be used for hot during the year. That's minhag for Ashkenazim. So Yuval doesn't have to worry about this. So a kiddush cup should be koshered. Cutlery which is used at the table should be koshered if you want to use them for Pesach. Now some years we just recommend, you know, why don't you get new? Well, this year obviously people don't necessarily have that option of getting new. It's sort of thrusting us a little bit last moment. So if a person wants to kosher things maker, then you can kosher them. No reason why you can't. The koshering process You can use a chametz tikka pot for kashering, but it cannot be used for 24 hours beforehand. This is number one, a large pot, and you should kasher the pot before you use it. So how do you kasher the pot before you use it? You fill it up with water, and you bring the pot to a boil. Then you take a piece of stone and put it on a burner. You take a piece of stone and put it on the burner beforehand also. Till the stone gets very hot. And the point being that when you put the stone into the pot, and the pot overflows, it's not that the stone will be at least as hot or hotter than the water, so it won't cause the water to cool off, and you drop it into the pot, causing the pot to overflow. This way you've kashered all of the pot, even the rim. Now to do this, obviously you're going to need to pick up that hot stone. Do not try and do that with your hands. You have a tongs, if you have a long type of a wrench or something that you can use to pick it up, that's a smart idea. Do not, you're going to burn yourself, please do not try and pick it up with your hands. So that's your kasher of the pot. So now the pot is kashered. Now that the pot is kashered, you can put your items into the pot. Now any item which goes into the pot, since it's room temperature, it might cause the pot to stop boiling. The pot has to come back to a full boil before the kashering process is considered done. So if you put something in and it cools off, you should let it stay in there until the pot has go back to boiling. If it does not reduce from boiling, or you got it back to boiling, it has to stay in there just a moment. Then you should take it out, and just run under cold water immediately after taking it out. Now, how do you get the things in and out? Again, you have this boiling pot of water. How are you going to get things in and out? You can tie a string to them and drop them in. You can put them in a strainer, and you can bring them in, as long as you don't make it too heavy in there, so the water can move around all parts of the kli that you're kashering. If it's a large kli, you can do one half at a time. So you can you can immerse one half, you holding on to the other half. That'll be your handle. Now, in the situation where you're kashering a half at a time, the luck is you do need to do the process of running under cold water, and then you need to dry it. Only a kli which is dry, kasher a kli, it has to be dry when you start the process. So you, whatever, in that situation, you would have to run under cold water, then dry the kli, at least the part which you're going to be immersing again, which you can basically dry the kli, and then immerse the other half. This is different than tovling. Tovling has to be done, the whole kli is immersed at one time. But by kashering, you can do one part of the kli at a time. And that's different than tovling, I just want to point that out, because some people confuse the two. Now, if a person wants to kasher the countertops and the sinks, etc., so if a counter is made out of granite, or you know, marble, granite, any of those type of things, that you can kasher stone. If it's made out of a composite, which means it's little pieces of stone which have been held together with some type of an epoxy or some type of polymer that they use, that's a plastic, and you can't kasher it for pesos. For mica countertop, those type of things cannot be kashered for pesos. So the simplest idea is just cover it. Just clean it well and cover it. The purpose of covering it is that you do not want any time that you have anything which you're putting down on the countertop which is hot, which is pesodic, which would have contact with the countertop, because then any bilias which have been absorbed into the counter will not go into your pot, into your food. So as long as there's no contact, you're okay. So you can cover it with a double layer of heavy duty foil. You can cover it with some type of these, you can buy these plastic corrugated things to cover your countertop. Anyone is fine. When you cover your countertop, you should cover the backsplashes as well. There might have been some type of bleed over there, and your kli, if you push your kli to the back, it's touching the backsplash, you're going to have a problem. When you're kashering a countertop which is made out of stone, usually it's not so easy to kasher the backsplash. I would recommend covering the backsplash. To kasher the granite, and the same thing to kasher the sink, if you want to kasher it you, with the process of iri, you can do so. Iri is going to be, it's not so simple. Iri means that you bring water to a boil and you pour it. So it's pouring from a Kli Rishon, which was at a boil. Obviously, when you take it off the fire, it would reduce from being at a boil, but it has to be hot still. It has to retain its heat up at least to the temperature 170. The lacha is that Iroi, you have to pour on each spot by itself. So it's not enough to pour in one spot and let the water spread. You have to pour in each spot. So you have to start from one corner in the back, let's say, and start moving forward till you get to the front. And that's maybe a width where the water hits, about an inch wide. And then you go and do the next inch. So you get the idea, well, that's going to be very tedious. Now, after you finish using your water from the first batch, so the water has spread, you cannot kosher the second pouring with the water which has spread being there, because by now the water has spread, has cooled. So you have to dry everything off and start over again. Now, I do want to point out, when you kosher, you have to pour cold water on that section that you've just koshered. So you're going to kosher a section, pour cold water, dry everything off, kosher the next section, pour cold water, dry everything off, kosher the next section. So now you get the idea why I'm not advising to do that. It's not the easiest thing to do. What a person could do is, if you can get your hands on it, I don't have one, is you can put some type of a lip in the front of the counter, which will hold the water there, fill it with a thin layer of water, and get a steamer, which can produce a temperature of 180 degrees, and steam the water till the water starts boiling. So now you're boiling the water on, and you just go up and down, heating the water, which is there. So that's a little bit easier. If you don't do that anyway, you're going to have water all over your floor. So that hot water, which is not necessarily the smartest idea. So if you don't get that idea by now, then I'm discouraging you from trying to kosher your granite countertops. You're not listening. Now, with regards to your stainless, a sink which is made out of stainless steel, can be koshered by Iri, the same idea. You should kosher the top part of the metal. If you have an over the sink, which in the top part reaches over the top of the countertop, so you should kosher the first part of the metal on top by Iri, and then you should kosher the sides and then the bottom. The process should be from top, sides, bottom. And again, it has to be done pouring directly. So you can get a kettle and pour down, up, down once, down twice, down three times, down four times, down five times. Pour cold water, dry off the rest of the sink, start over again. It's good to have somebody else do it with you, which they can spot it and see how far you went. There's another option of there's a kit which we have, which allows you to actually boil the water in the sink itself. And that is advantageous for many reasons. It doesn't work for it's not advisable for an under the sink, under the counter sink. Some sinks are attached, especially with granite and some other things, they're attached underneath the sink as opposed to on top of the sink. It's dangerous to do that. You're heating up this boiling hot water in this thing which is attached to the granite by a glue. Well, when you heat the sink to that temperature, it loosens the glue, and chas v'shalom, you can have the whole sink come off and pour boiling hot water all over your floor. That's very dangerous. So, whereas over the counter, that's even if it would quote-unquote detach, the gravity holds the sink in place. If the sink is made out of porcelain or enamel or something of that sort, you cannot kosher it. You should now, in regards to koshering the sink, I just want to point out again, there's a 24-hour waiting period. You should not use it for hot chometz, preferably not for hot at all. If you're going to kosher Motzi Shabbos, so you turn off the hot water before Shabbos. You don't use hot water for the sink for 24 hours. Afterwards, you can use hot water. It's not a problem. It's only during, you need a 24-hour period that you've not used anything hot in the sink. Hot chometz has to not be used for 24 hours, period. Hot water, once 24 hours have passed, don't worry about that, you can use hot water. Clean out the porcelain sink well, the enamel sink well, and then preferably either you should line it or get a sink insert, and so there'll never be any direct contact between your kalim and the sink. In regards to the drain, especially if you have a drain which tends to back up, you should pour some type of a drain cleaner down the drain, preferably first before you kosher it. Okay. The 24-hour period in regards to kashering other things. So we'll talk about stoves and ovens in a moment. Somebody asked a question about retainers and orthodontics, braces, etc. So Rav Heinemann suggests that a person should try for 24 hours before the Zman Yisr not to eat any hot chametz. Clean it out well, wash it out well, and that's sufficient. You don't need to kasher it with iri. The argument being that, in general, it's in your mouth. You're never taking in food of that temperature that it would be halakhically problematic that you have to actually kasher it. And even if that did happen one time, so Rav Tashmishos is not a problem. Since it might get damaged by doing anything too hot with it, so that's sufficient. So you clean out well in 24 hours, you don't use it for chametz, and you should be fine. Somebody one time pushed Rav Heinemann that, don't you need more? You need more? So he said, fine. He says, turn the oven to 350 and stick your head inside the oven for an hour, and it'll kasher your braces. That was his humor to, please leave me alone. Okay. Kashering ovens and stovetops. So, kashering ovens. If you have a self-cleaning oven, so the self-clean will be sufficient for the walls of the oven. It won't be sufficient for the door. The door does not get as hot as the rest of the oven. So the door should still be cleaned. That shouldn't be anything besides these black, dark stains. The door should be cleaned well. The gasket, which is around the door, crumbs tend to gather there. And the bottom of where the door meets the oven, crumbs tend to gather there as well. You really should clean those out from the crumbs which are there. It's not a chometz, it's not a iser of belius issue. There's no transfer of flavor, but it's a bayirah, bayimotze issue. The racks inside the oven, there are those who argue that the racks would be kashered well with the self-cleaning cycle. You need to leave the cycle on for an hour. You can set them for 3 hours, but after an hour you can turn it off, and that'll be sufficient for the purpose of self-cleaning. If you don't have self-cleaning, you should clean the oven well. Anything which looks like it's reached the point where it's inedible, to the point that even a keller would not want to eat it, you don't have to worry about it. There are some very strong oven cleaners. If you want, you can put a little bit of oven cleaner on those type of foods, so it would clearly make it pogum to the point that a keller wouldn't eat it. And then set the oven on its highest setting, which is going to be a broil or 550 for an hour, and you'll accomplish the same thing as self-cleaning for the purpose of the oven. The racks preferably should be covered with two layers of aluminum foil in that situation. This way, whereas the oven itself, absorption was only done usually either because of splatter or because of steam. On the racks itself, sometimes a person made a lasagna and a piece of pasta fell onto the rack itself, so the absorption was direct. So it needs a stronger level of libun than that. So its best thing to do is to clean them well and cover them with two layers of foil. Okay, regards to koshering the stovetop, if you have electric burners, just set them on the highest setting. That will kosher the burners themselves. The drip pan below can't be koshered, but you don't really have any direct contact between the drip pan and the food. The area in between the burners, it's hard to really kosher that area. The best thing to do is to cover it with aluminum foil. Clean it and cover it with aluminum foil. If you have gas burners, so what you can do is kosher the grates by making a tenth of aluminum, of heavy duty aluminum foil, and placing it over it, not more than two burners at a time. Do not do all four burners at the same time. It can damage your stovetop because of the intense heat. And putting it over one burner or two burners at the same time, and turning both of the burners on the highest setting of the gas for about 20 minutes, the tenth of the aluminum foil will keep the heat in. So the burner is burning from below, and you have this tenth above keeping the heat in, and it will keep the heat to the point that it kashers the grate. But since it's keeping that heat, it's also spreading that heat downwards onto your stovetop. So be careful to not hurt yourself. And that's why I do not recommend doing all four at one time. If you have a glass top stovetop, which means there's a burner beneath and there's glass on top of this very high temperature resistant glass. So the area directly above the glass is koshered by putting, the area directly above the burner. So there's a burner below which gets red hot and you see it through the glass. So that the glass directly above that burner becomes koshered. It does not kosher the rest of the glass. So when you put your pot down on Pesach and it's touching the rest of the glass, because the pot doesn't, it fits beyond where the burner is, you're going to have a real problem. If any liquid gets between your pot and the stovetop, there's absorption of any blia which is in the stovetop will now go into your pot. So really, what you need to do is to create some type of a round circular metal trivet, made with some heavy aluminum foil, rolling around a few times. And roll it, and when you put the pot down, so there's going to be a little bit of a gap between the pot and the burner, so it's not touching, sitting directly on the glass. Or use a pot which is smaller than the width of the burner, so the pot is only placed on the part which has been koshered. Best aids over there is just buy a portable one or two burner, electric burners, which you can cover the whole thing, and buy a portable one or two burner thing and put it there and cook on those burners, because it's really hard to deal with that situation. Okay. That's koshering. In regard to the fridge, you do not need to do more than just really clean it out. Well, do you not need to line the fridge shelves? If you do want to line the fridge shelves, many people do that. Just make sure that it's not done in such a way that it's preventing the flow of the air, which will allow the fridge to be effective and cool the food. Cabinets, they should just be cleaned out well. And meeker, then you not need to line the shelves, but the minute you are limited to line the shelves. Okay. Somebody asked me a question. Can you sell chametz gomer? The answer is meeker, then you can sell chametz gomer. So let's say a person wants to hold on to some chametz. One second. There's the question. Anyway, a kasher or a toaster oven? Toaster oven is complicated because the chametz sits directly on the tray of the toaster oven, so it's a direct absorption. So direct absorption, pashas, you have to kasher it with Lieben Gomer. Lieben Gomer means the thing has to get red hot. It's going to damage the tray or the rack. So it's not really any good way to kosher a toaster oven. There are those who say in a situation where you don't have another option, and since it's going to get damaged, you can wait 24 hours, clean it out totally well, make sure there's no chametz there, wait 24 hours, and do Lieben Kal, which means put it on its highest setting, same way said regards to the oven. But the mice inside of the toaster oven, I don't know about yours, but you know, there's a lot of buildup and different stuff over there. It's really hard to clean it out well. So I wouldn't recommend doing that. A person really stuck on, that's all they have available. They can't get a new one. So you can clean it out very well. Wait 24 hours, not using it for chametz. Set it on a high setting. I would recommend even that situation, even so afterwards, make sure you cut whenever you use it on Pesach to cover the tray and cover the racks. Question, you want to keep some of your chametz. So some of the chametz is dry things you're keeping in a cabinet. But some of the things are things which need to be refrigerated in the fridge or the freezer. Can you sell part of your fridge or side of your freezer? Part of your freezer. The answer is yes. Preferably it should be a separate shelf, which is totally designated for the purpose of chametz, and that you should seal off that shelf. Number one. Preferably it should be on the lower shelves as opposed to the higher shelves. Number two. Number three, when you sell the chametz, you should preferably sell the makom of the fridge and the freezer and or the freezer, whatever, to the non-Jew. So therefore, your fridge is, which the chametz is sitting in his rishos, not on yours. So you should mark that you're selling the makom of the fridge and the makom of the freezer as well. Even though you're using the upper part, you put a clause in there. There's a clause in the shtar mechira that you have a right to use it if needed. The same thing would be true by a freestanding cabinet. The same thing would be true as well. Okay, there's an isser of bayira. You can't see chametz. So there's an issue of seeing chametz. The issue is actually not seeing chametz. The issue is actually owning chametz. So I have a situation where I have the chametz of the goy, or I have kalim, which are chametz of the kalim, in a place where they're visible to me, as long as they're sealed up in a way that I can't get to them, so there's no chashash, I might come by mistake and eat them, and I sell the makom to the goy, so it's in his rishus. The fact that I can see them is not a problem. There's no halacha that you cannot see chametz. It means you can't own chametz. Question which a lot of kashering a microwave for Pesach. A microwave is a bit difficult thing to kasher. Even though, first of all, it could be some parts are plastic, and we get involved in the issue of kashering plastic for Pesach. The second issue is that there are vents where the fan comes through, etc. Eventually, little particles and there's buildup of residue inside over there. So it's very hard to clean that out. So I would not recommend trying to kasher a microwave for Pesach. Once you kasher your stovetop and your grates, you do not need to cover them. You can use them directly without worrying whether it's electric or whether it's gas. Once they're kashered, you can put your pots directly on them, and not a problem. Okay. Moving on to a different topic totally. A few questions regards to makeup and those type of things for Pesach. Mikra din, any makeup which is a solid, that means it's a powder or it's a cream, it's even a lotion or an ointment, mikra din are not a problem for Pesach. Even if there's chametz in there, mikra din is not a problem. There is a shita which is machmer, and therefore many people have the minig that they try not to use, try to use only ones which are Pesachic. But if that's difficult, a person can be samech on the shita to use any of them. Now, something which is a liquid and it has would have chametz in it, so many times you can actually distill let's say alcohol, which is chametzic alcohol. So denatured alcohol means it's made from grain, usually. If you say denatured alcohol on it, denatured alcohol can be made natured again. It could be, there's a way of distilling it and using it again. So Mersha held that was a problem. That would be problematic for Pesach. If it's cetyl alcohol, it's not a problem. Those are usually not made from that. That's a chemical. It's made chemically, not from chametz. Ethyl alcohol can be made from chametz. Isopropyl alcohol is not a problem. It's made from a chemical. So if a deodorant, a liquid deodorant type of a spray or something of that type of thing, that would be more problematic than anything else. Lipstick maker then is not a problem because it's a solid. The reason why people are machmer on lipstick is because the mice, you do tend to ingest some of it ingesting actual chametz. So it's not a good idea. So that's why people are machmer on it. But again, mikra din, it's not a problem. Do you need to get a new lipstick to use for Pesach? Mikra din, no. Usually lipstick is put on the person during... It's not they're eating breakfast and then putting on lipstick and maybe some chametz got mixed into the lipstick. If you tend to do that, like eat breakfast and then before you go off to work, put on your lipstick, I would advise getting a new lipstick for Pesach. Any of these things which we're saying we're being machmer on, that doesn't mean that it would be usher to keep it. It would only be a question in regards to you actually using them. Somebody asked a question in regards to a Brita. You know, the water filter, do you need a new one for Pesach? So that's a good point. In regards to kashering the sink, you do need the kasher, the faucet. Sometimes there is actual zeya of chametz which goes there, or an actual piece of chametz which goes there. The aerator, which comes on the bottom of the faucet, you should really, preferably you should unscrew that and put a new one on. So the Brita has that problem. That little piece which is there, the bottom part of the Brita, if the water comes out of the Brita, you have the same problem. If water does not come out of the Brita, comes out of the faucet, it's weaker than the Brita, is not a problem. You just wash it off well. Okay. Somebody asked a question about, you had a blech which is used for chametz. Can it be used on Pesach? A blech, if there was actual chametz, with actual chametz burnt in, so you need Liban Gomer to remove the bleus. Now, as long as it's clean, so you don't have a problem with Bayer Rabbi Motze. So the question that you're concerned about, bleus, theoretically, you would cover it with two layers of heavy-duty foil. It can be used in Pesach, so if a person needs, so they can rely on that opinion. Baby formula on Pesach, a new topic over here. Kidneys, which means that it's a soy base or a rice base or any of that type of sort, is mutter to use on Pesach for a chayla and a child or an elderly person have a din of a chayla. So the baby formula, even if it's kidneys based, can be used in Pesach. You just have to make sure that there's no chashash of chametz in there. So if it says very clearly that it's that you don't have to worry about any wheat, you know, there's no wheat allergy problems. So you can rely on that. You can use the formula for Pesach. The Star K Guide had a list 2 years ago. That's one of the latest one that I have on hand. I don't have this year's. They actually made a list of various different formulas and even like soy drink, rice drink, those type of things of different companies, which are only kidneys and not a problem. Now, for Pesach, a healthy person cannot use it, and you have to use separate kalim for it. So you should wash it, and you should designate whatever you're going to need to be able to wash off the baby's bottle, whatever it is that you're giving him the formula in a different sink, a bathroom sink. It's not chametz, and there's no problem with chametz, but you should not use the regular sink for it. If a child has a very, very specific type of a health issue which requires a formula which is actually chametz, usually the answer is going to be mutter. Usually it's a kind of sefoshes. But you need to have to come to the first of the situation. If somebody has a question, they can ask me that. Children's medicine can use the one which is used the whole year. So, assuming the medicine is not a problematic medicine, the medicine itself is fine. The question is, do you need a new bottle, etc. The real answer, the reason why the poskim suggest getting a new bottle is because we tend to go and get those things. Sometimes our hands are chametzic, etc. So who knows, maybe there's a little particle of chametz which is going in to your child. And on Pesach, you should not be feeding them even a small amount of chametz. If you know that that's not the situation, that you feel that you've been fairly careful about it, meeker, then you could use the regular bottle. I would recommend getting a new bottle for Pesach. If you know your child tends to use, so whatever, you know, the children's Tylenol, whatever it is that you're giving them, regards to which ones are acceptable or not, many of them, the medicine itself is not a problem. It's always the starch which comes, that the pill or whatever it is, or the alcohol which comes in the liquid, or the flavors which come in the liquid, which are problematic. For that, you have the different guides. Those can be problematic because those are being used in a similar way to like food. Okay. Different question. Do you need to have a korah for Pesach? Does korah have to be round? You do not need a korah for Pesach. You just need a plate. You're going to put on the plate the items which are necessary for the korah in the order how it says in the Haggadah to place them. The shape of the korah also is not really an issue. What should you use for karpas? I recommend using celery for karpas. Celery does tend to sometimes have small bugs. When you buy it, you should run it under water and rub it with a toothbrush, and that will get off any concern of any bugs which are there. Okay. Tilas kalim. So you buy new kalim, so you have to kasher them. You have to tevel them. The kalim is closed. So what do you need to do for Tilas kalim? There is an option here in Silver Spring of using the Northwest Branch. It's kosher, however, you cannot use it after a rain. The question is how long after the rain. Well, it depends how long the rain was for and how heavy the rain was, because there's a concern that maybe rainwater which is moving is possible. It has to be spring water which is moving, which is kosher. If the majority is spring water, it's fine. So immediately after heavy rain, there's a large amount of rainwater in there. We're concerned that maybe it's not, the majority is not spring water. If it's rainwater, it's possible if it's moving. And obviously it's moving. So if it's a light rain, you wait, wait till the next day, and usually you should be fine. If it's a heavy rain, the way you can tell is, that if you go past where the waterfall is on Route 29, you'll see right after the rain, it's a very heavy flow, and like a day or two later, it's much less. So you want to wait a day or two later. If that's not possible, persons in a city where that's not an option. So you have two eitzes. One eitzes, you can be maknet to a non-Jew, then borrow it back from them. You have to do an actual kinyan with a non-Jew, so you're not going to be able to do social distancing with that person. You have to be very clear that you're actually giving it to them as a matana, or they're buying it from you and they're giving you a small amount of money. They're taking the item and they're lifting it up. So preferably they've paid you a small amount of money for the item, and they've done hagbah on the kli, then they should give it back to you as a matana. You can give them back their money afterwards if you so wish. But you have to be able to do that with the non-Jew. Alternatively, you can do an eitzah being mafker it, declaring it hefker. Never, it's not chayav until anymore because it doesn't belong to you. And then you make a clear statement that you're not planning to re-kind it when you pick it up again. So you make that declaration. The hefker has to be done in front of three people. It can be done online in front of three people. However, it has to be three people which are in the neighborhood who could actually come and get the item, and preferably the item should be put out in such a way that somebody who wants to take it could take it. So the point is you made it actually not yours and it's accessible to other people. So that's a bona fide act of hefker. And then when you take it back, you say, take it back, you declare that you're not being kerned back. So that would be the eitzah for Tfilas Kalim. Question which came in was, a person had some produce, eggs, whatever it is, in the fridge, which are not chametz themselves, but they've been used, they've been sitting in the fridge, and you want to use them for Pesach. Can you use them for Pesach? The answer is yes, just wash them off well, preferably before this month. In regards to how to prepare romaine lettuce for mortar, the system that we use, first of all, preferably don't buy organic. Number one, it's much more organic means they're not using any pesticides. You get one which has some brands tend to be cleaner than the others. You can speak to my wife which ones those are. Preferably buy a brand which tends to be cleaner than the other. You have two options. You can buy the romaine lettuce and just use the stalks. The stalks are very easy to use. You tear off the leaves, take the stalk, run it under running water, and rub your hand up and down the stalk while it's going under the running water, and it's fine. That's all you got to do. If you want to use the leaves, So preferably you should soak them in a solution of water and dishwashing detergent. So this, and it's put into the container that you're soaking it in, and agitate it around a little bit, so the dishwashing liquid will help rake the hole that the bugs have on the, if there are any bugs there that are holding onto the leaf, that's dishwashing liquid tends to break that bond, the same way it breaks the bond of your grease, which holds onto your plate. It does the same thing to the feet of the bug. So with that, with agitation, it'll come off. Then take it out and run under a stream of water to get off the dishwashing the detergent, and B, any bugs which now have been detached will now be washed off. And then look at it with a light behind it, so you can see through the leaf. We tend to do that. It's not very difficult. And it works fine. If somebody wants more directions, they can ask my wife for more directions. A knife magnet, which holds knives, and you want to use it on Pesach, I would suggest covering it with some saran wrap, and then that should be thin enough that it should not affect the ability of the magnet to hold the knives. But there's no direct contact between the knife and the magnet because you don't know what type of... Theoretically, you can really clean it well and use it. Since you have a simple etzah, I would suggest doing that. Do you need to get new oven mitts for Pesach? I'm assuming the person is referring to ones which are made of a material. The answer is you can throw them in the washer and wash them, make your adin. The ones which are made out of plastic, not even plastic, silicon, that's the word I'm looking for. It's hard to really make sure you clean them well because they have a lot of cracks and crevices, etc. So I would recommend getting a new one. Okay, let's see if I covered everything I want to cover. Just give me a moment. Oh, but some of them have Havdalah candle. You can use the one you use from the regular year for Pesach as well. I just would recommend not putting it directly on the table. I have a policy in the house that in general, I do not put anything which is on the table the whole year on the Pesach table. Your glasses, your keys, your wallet. You know, who knows, there might be a little particle of chametz. It's just sitting on the table a lot of times and now it decides to pop out on Pesach. It's not mikra din, it's my chumrah. I think it's an intelligent thing to do. We're so machmer in general, but by Pesach, why are we sticking these things which tend to a woman's purse? You know, who knows what. Now, in regards to cleaning out your purse, a person should clean out their purse beforehand. Bedika needs to be done on spaces which are like a bias, etc. You do need to clean out pockets, purses, briefcases, etc. You do need to check, make sure there's no chametz there. That can be done by either looking inside or by moving around with your hand and feeling it. You can do that while you're cleaning out the pockets. You don't have to clean out pockets which you tend to put chametz in, you know. A person might, you know, take something and stick it into a coat pocket. You're not sticking that into, a blouse pocket or a shirt pocket. People aren't walking around with a piece of bread sticking in their pocket usually. I guess if you tend to do that, you should check there as well. Paper plates. So somebody asked a question in regards to if you have paper plates, pans, etc., which you have a lot of them, but you've used them the whole year, can you use them for Pesach as well? The answer is yes. I would just recommend not using the top one or two because maybe... as you were taking for chametz during the year, your hands might have been chametz thick. You might have touched one of them, the upper ones. But everything else is fine. Okay. Okay, I covered all the questions which were submitted, I think. At least that I can recall. So we can take some questions now. If somebody wants to ask a question, oh my gosh, that was an hour. Somebody have a question on what we covered until now or different other questions, please feel free to do that. You can unmute. Now, I don't mind everybody unmutes, but just don't all talk at the same time. Okay. So now somebody has a question over here. We have a chest freezer. So you can put chametz in the bottom and cover it with a cardboard and sell the space under the cardboard. The answer is yes. You can do that. That's fine. Okay, any questions? I know the answer was yes. Yeah. Right. So, just if you think there's anything there which in your office or any place that you can't get to, so you should just include it in the sale for Pesach, and that should be fine. Okay. Somebody sent in a question in the chat. Can we use regular wine glasses for Pesach? You could use regular wine glasses with Pesach. The minig is to kasher. Anything which has been used during the year, the minig is to kasher it for Pesach. The Ramah says that the way you kasher wine glasses, I know you might have heard from your bubby one time, glasses, the way you kasher them is you do milui v'iri 3 days in a row. All right, so you fill them up let's say you have 10 glasses you want to kosher, 8 glasses you want to kosher. Get a basin which is taller than the glasses, fill it with water, put the glasses in and fill it with water so now that the water level is higher than the glasses. Set a time, check the time, let that sit for 24 hours, at least 24 hours. Pour the water out, cold water, refill it again. Do that as three days in a row. That's called mili v'iri, 3 days in a row, and that's how you kasher wine glasses for Pesach. Okay. Yeah. Yes. I would recommend putting on the table when you use it on the table, putting down something underneath them, and obviously try and look at beforehand the case. If there's any egregious, obvious, specks of chametz sitting in them, get rid of them before Pesach. Okay, somebody wanted to know: can we talk about how to kasher a microwave anyway? It's really hard. You'd have to first of all note that it's not plastic. Plastic anywhere in there. It's a stainless steel microwave, which they do exist, or metal, whatever it is, not stainless steel, metal. And then you'd have to clean around the area where the vent is. You could then spray a pogum into where the area of the vent is, in case there's any residue which is built up inside there. Let it sit for 24 hours, and then you take a cup of water, put in the high setting, and boil out all the water which is in there, and this is after you've cleaned out every single surface perfectly. Make sure that there's nothing there. So it's a labor intensive process, and even that afterwards we're not convinced 100% that it's good. So that's why I really advise not to. Yeah, Tila, you had a question. So, theoretically, anything like that, you just clean it well, make sure that it's fully clean, and theoretically, you could use it for Pesach. The problem is the minig is we're machmer that maybe there was some type of bliya, as one time, hot chametz touched it, etc. So, for Ashkenazim, that's a problem. For Sephardim, again, Yuval got it easy in that respect. Actually not, because she's married to Avi, And Avi is an Ashkenazi. I'm sorry, I take that back. You all have the same problem as everybody else. If you were to wear it as Sephardi, you wouldn't have that problem. So you know, there's a Ramah which is Machran. It's hard. You know, it's preferable not to. You know, if you can avoid that. Okay. A dishwasher, I would avoid kasher in the dishwasher. I have multiple concerns with that. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? I'm talking about oven racks and the self-clean. But the problem is self-clean, oven racks, sometimes you have actual chametz touches them directly. It's not clear that self-clean is sufficient for that. Then, especially nowadays, the newer ovens, their self-clean is not as hot as the old days. Self-clean temperatures used to reach close to 1,000 degrees. Nowadays, they reach about 600. So it's not Liebman Gummer. So anything which touched directly needs Liebman Gummer. At least lechatchila. So, unless you want to get, you can buy new racks. You know, you want to get separate racks for Pesach. You know, right? That's one option. In a case of a mokum atchak, so your semech that libum kal is sufficient. So what you do is you wait 24 hours without any chametz, and libum gomer doesn't need to wait 24 hours. Libum kal needs 24 hours. You wait 24 hours. And you set on the highest setting, you assume it's Liban Kal. So, Mokam Adchak, you can be Samach on that. So, if a person doesn't really have another option, they can do that. But I think over here, an option of covering it with foil, I think you should do that. Okay. A question came in the chat, which was, what do I feel about milking meals on Yom Tov? Do we need to get a. Rivki, if you can mute again, because I'm getting the background of the noise in the background. Sorry, no problem. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. So, a few questions over here. Do you need to get a new washing cup? The simple answer is no, not Mikar Adin, but the Maisa that's sitting in your kitchen the whole year, chametz gets stuck on it. You have to clean it off really, really well. I think for the time that you want to spend on cleaning it, I'll tell you to buy a new one for the $3 that it costs to get a new one. Okay, now it's probably $4 on Amazon. Okay. Are milchah meals mutter on Yom Tov? There's a machlokes in halacha whether you have to have basar on Yom Tov for the Suda. The Mishnah Berurah comes out that a person should have basar on the Suda's Yom Tov. The din of simcha requires basar. So as much as the zechi of simcha on Yom Tov that we require, you should have a fleshig meal. We hold that chicken counts for that purpose. You don't have to have dafka to have meat. There is an opinion which says not like that. So if a person really finds it extremely difficult, they can be some with another opinion. But really, the chachil mishibur is very strong about. He comes out that you have to have buster. So I don't recommend milchah meals for Yom Tov. And people say, well, I can't survive 3 days of eating such heavy meals. So the answer is don't eat so much. But yeah, what's in front of me, eat all of it. Okay, that I can't help you with. That you're going to have to work out between you and your dietitian. What's the best way to clean burners before kashering? So the burners, which you're talking about, I'm assuming you're talking about the stovetop. The stovetop, if it's electric, you don't need to clean them. Because they get red hot, they're going to burn off anything which is there. Obviously, if you see something there, you wait till it stays red long enough to burn it all off, and that's gone. The same thing with the grate, the point of the gas ones, the point is that you're burning it to the point where it gets red hot. So anything which is there should be burnt. Okay, what should we cover the backsplash with? Foil is sufficient. Should you only use heavy-duty foil? The reason why I recommend heavy-duty foil is at any surface where you'll be working, it's going to end up tearing. Heavy duty foil is much better. The backsplash you're not really touching, so I don't care what, you know, any type of foil is fine. Does fish count for basar? The answer is no. I'm sorry, doesn't. Okay. Okay. Now, this is the shiur. If anybody has any questions, you know, it's a week and a half till Yom Tov. I'm available. I think you can send me an email at my email, or you can send me a text to my phone, 301-996-5910, 301-996-5910. All of your husbands have my phone number, and you can send me a text. Calling me and leaving a message is less effective until I get around to listening to my message, usually the end of the day. Sometimes it's the end of 2 days. That's just reality of life. So sending a text is much better. I'll get to the question in the chat in a second. So you can contact me and send me any questions, and we'll be in touch. You can also try and call. If you get through, you get through. You can ask me directly. And actually, that's also fine. Okay. Now, the question was, our burners are not attached to the stove. It's a pretty old one. Our burners are not attached to the stove. Our burners are not attached. Do you mean the grates? Do you mean the... Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm not picturing it 100% what exactly that looks like. Okay, so first of all, I wish you a bracha that you should get a new one. You know, hopefully, like, it'll like break and they won't be able to fix it, and the manager will have to buy you a new one right before Pesach. So that'd be the silver lining in having it, you know, break. But if it's talking like, I'm not sure exactly what it is, but that probably you should use some type of a like an easy off, something you would use like an oven cleaner. Wear gloves when you use it, and clean it off like that. So therefore, if it's any ban, it's either cleaned off or it's pogum. Cleans off very well, and then try and. Heat it as best as possible. Okay, there's a question. If you have steel wool available, yes, I would recommend doing that. They'll look nice and clean. I would recommend when you wear steel wool also to use gloves, because the little pieces of the steel can embed into your finger and your hands, and it's like a splinter. It's pretty painful. So wear some type of a thick glove when you do that. Can we cover the table with a clear plastic tablecloth and that's it? Can we eat off of that? I would recommend two layers. So put one clear plastic tablecloth and then put another one on top of that. I'm assuming you just mean just the simple wooden table, the plastic tablecloth on top of that, and no decorative tablecloth besides that. So make sure then that's, you know, I would recommend two layers. Yeah. So you can put a clear plastic, like a thick one, and then buy one of the put a disposable one on top of that, and that would be sufficient. If your child tends to play with the tablecloth and make holes in it, so try and avoid that. Okay, very good, ladies. Everybody should be zoichet that we should. The Rishiva Chaim used to say that everybody wishes people, you know, a Freilich in Purim and a Kosher in Pesach. He says, you know, Purim, it's going to be Freilich. Halavite should be Kosher. Pesach, it's going to be Kosher. Halavite should be Freilich. So we saw that have a Freilich of Pesach and that everything should be done well. I just want to mention one point about cleaning. I didn't really discuss about cleaning. You're cleaning the house enough that you can find a piece of chametz which is the size of a Cheerio. You're not looking for crumbs, and you're not looking for, so in kelim, those type of things, you should wash them out well. It's done. They're pretty much anything which is going to have more chametz than it's a lot of chametz in it. Put it to sell with the things you're selling for the goy. You're, and the language of the shahr is you're selling not the kli, but the chametz in the kli, because the kli would be chayv and tefillah after Pesach if you do that. Not a good idea. But the cleaning is to facilitate the bedikah. That's the ikar din of the cleaning. It's not to clean your house for Pesach. It's to clean enough that you can do the bedikah on Pesach without all the junk in the way. Right? So as long as every area which you would normally be worried that chametz is brought to is accessible to check, that's all you got to do. So that means that should take you about an hour in your apartment. Okay? Obviously, putting away the pots and pans, you want to clean them and put them away. You know, but beyond that, and just mark that's been used. That's the Pesach thing, and that's it. The chametz and things, so you won't come to use it by mistake. But regards to cleaning, it's really, do not make yourself a meshuggah. Please do not make yourself a meshuggah. It's not a large amount of cleaning. It's just the purpose of cleaning is to make sure that you're able to do the bedikah the night of the bedikah with. You know, if you have like layers of dirt and there's chametz underneath, you know, so I can't get to the remove the chametz because the dirt is there. So I strip away the dirt to be able to get to the chametz. Not a common issue nowadays for the most part. Okay, ladies, very good. A kosher and Pesach, chelach and Pesach. Be in touch. Stay safe. Okay. Now, ladies, do you want me to? I can leave the meeting going. So I can leave it myself and just leave it open if you want to talk to each other and schmooze a little bit. So you have all of you together, that's fine. So I'll just leave the meeting, let the meeting continue. This way you can schmooze with each other if you want. Okay. Lazar. Yes. After Marv, we'll do Kiddush Levana.